This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Song reminds me of working out. It's on my iPod. Like, if I hear this music, it's like, it just takes me right to ACAC. You what?
I have that on my iPod. It doesn't take me to ACAC, though. It takes me to the next Creed song.
38 minutes after 4 o'clock, 4:38 on the clock of the wall. We're having a good time this afternoon. I'm Coy Barefoot. And this is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk live with author Hank Albarelli. His new book is A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments Involving LSD. It's a big book, too, over 800 pages. The man has done his homework. We'll look forward to talking with him. But right now, let's talk with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. But before we go anywhere, we just want to say that your amazing, talented daughter, her photograph, is it in the paper or just online?
It was in the paper, too.
She's a machine, Brian. That is amazing.
She's a fun little lacrosse player to watch.
This is Western Albemarle's Abby Wheeler fires a shot against Salem in the Jefferson District semifinals. Wheeler scored 7 goals in one game.
That's true.
That's amazing. This is women's lacrosse at Western Albemarle.
That's right. And the big showdown is this Friday night versus Monticello at Monticello.
Big game.
So these two teams will be fighting it out for the district championship.
And then the winner of that goes
to the region. The regional championship, and then hopefully to the state.
Has Western Albemarle gone that far before?
They have. I'm trying to think which round it is they get knocked out of. I think it's in the regionals, short of getting to the states.
So they won district before.
Oh yeah, yeah. Western is a longtime winner of the Jefferson District Championship, but Monticello is a much improved team, and they've got some very athletic girls on that team this year.
What is it with lacrosse? Lacrosse is like soccer was when we were kids. Remember, everybody played soccer when we were kids.
You said your daughter got a stick in her hand now.
I just bought her first lacrosse stick.
That's
she
awesome.
She saw her cousin play. Is like, I got to have a lacrosse stick. She's totally into it.
You know, it's
what
just,
is it?
It's just sort of fun. I mean, you it's fast.
I can't catch the darn thing.
Some, you know, hand-eye coordination.
I spend the whole time chasing the ball.
And it's a fun game to watch. It's very fast. It's the best of, you know, basketball. Hockey, you know, you can go behind the net like you can in hockey.
Yeah.
And soccer, sort of. You know, basketball, hockey, soccer. Those are the sports I think.
It's a very fast-moving sport.
Yeah.
You know, which it's not like football. Football is stop and go.
Right.
But lacrosse is just go, go, go. It's really something.
And the women's game, I would argue, is even faster. And there are a lot more fast breaks in the women's game these days because the men's game is getting more specialized, a lot of substitutions. So they get the ball down on the offensive end, and then they're setting up plays, subbing in the right players to execute the play.
So it is more stop and go then?
More so on the men's side these days.
Interesting.
Than the women's.
But interesting.
Anyway, we digress.
Yes. Brian Wheeler is with Charlottesville Tomorrow, of course, online at cvilletomorrow.org. You can hear him here on this program every week. And you can read the work of he and his team in the Daily Progress. And the big news, one of the big news items today that we've heard on WINA all day long is that the city is tabling, not necessarily abandoning, but is tabling for the time being this idea of a neighborhood advocate. What was the neighborhood advocate? And talk about the fact that some of the supporters say that the well-to-do neighborhoods sort of killed it.
Well, I think that's probably overstating.
That's their
things.
Take. That's their take.
You know, this came out of the campaign last fall, Coy, and City Councilor Kristen Zekas, when she was a candidate, she said this was an important part of her campaign, that she wanted to create this position. Back at the time when they had their press conference, she and Dave Norris both raised this idea. They said other communities in the country had hired people into these positions and seen a real impact on the community and organizing community efforts and having it really be a two-way street between city government and the people and making sure they were aware of what was going on and what the opportunities were.
And the whole idea is to get somebody out there in some of these neighborhoods that aren't well organized and heard from, like the opposite of Fry Spring. Fry Spring neighborhood, north downtown, very organized, a long history of very active, plugged in, they're heard from in City Hall. But then you have other neighborhoods, they're not heard from at all, much at all. And they're not really that organized.
Well, of course, many of the neighborhoods we hear the most from are those threatened by some force of nature or construction, right? So the North Towntown Residents Association is often there and talking about all things Meadow Creek Parkway. Fry Springs Neighborhood is there often talking about county development on the southern border of Charlottesville. So sometimes that's a factor, Coy, in who gets motivated to participate. But Kristen Zekas has said all along that she wants to get those communities that have not been involved, involved in city government, to the point where she even wants to take city council meetings, forums out into the community. So this is something that she's taken a couple different approaches on. This position, though, as you said, is going to be tabled. They want to wait and see what the next city manager brings to the table and what sort of priorities they have.
Is that why it's being tabled? Is that why it's being tabled? Because, you know, Maurice Jones, who's fantastic at what he does, and I hope he gets the job, but he's the acting city manager.
Right. And maybe if he becomes the city manager, he'll have a different idea about how to do that. Maybe if he doesn't become the city manager, he'll do more of that in his current position in city government. So basically, they wanted to let the dust settle on that decision. Of course, Gary O'Connell, we all know, has retired from the city and moved over to the Albemarle County Service Authority, where he's now the executive director of the County Water Authority. So that position is open. The city is going to have a forum, I believe, tonight or tomorrow night. You can look at our calendar and where they're taking feedback about what attributes they want to have in the next city manager. So that's another example of that. That's the type of meeting that's going to be held in downtown Charlottesville. Who's going to come to that meeting and talk about what sort of traits and skills they want in the next city manager? It's probably going to be the usual suspects who come to all these city meetings, right?
Yeah.
Now, hopefully us talking about it, maybe that'll motivate somebody else to go to that meeting. But that's the kind of breakthrough they want to have. How can we get people that don't ordinarily come to the table? Mayor Norris and Kristen Zekas said we really need to put a person on that job to have them out there motivating people.
But I support it. It makes sense to me. I think it could be incredibly powerful. And you and I, who have watched City Hall for many years, we know for a fact this is absolutely true, especially in Charlottesville, that when people come forward and talk out and speak to city council and speak to staff and have conversations, they are heard from. I mean, they're not ignored. You often see that it results in some type of action on the part of City Hall.
Well,
they really do listen to people. That's, you know, you can say what you want about City Hall, but it is a fact. They do listen to people.
I agree. And the city councilors remind, you know, reporters and others all the time that they're taking public feedback into account as they make this decision or that decision. But, Coy, some of the things the neighborhoods who were opposed to this idea said was that they wanted to make sure there was some independence between their sorts of activism and organizing and sort of being handled by, you know, a city staff member. So they wanted to keep their a proper distance from the machines of government, so that they could work independently as their neighborhood.
I would see, though, that this position might not even have much to do with the neighborhoods that are already well-oiled machines and well heard from.
That's true.
And would spend most of his or her time in the neighborhoods that need the assistance.
Now, I believe the price tag they put on this, Coy, that's another factor, was in the
$750,000 a year?
No, it wasn't. It was $50,000 to $70,000, I believe. So you were off there a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, in tight economic times, that's another factor.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Certainly something to think about. Now, speaking of the city of Charlottesville, they have a birthday coming up, and it is a rare thing for a city in America to actually be able to celebrate a 250th birthday.
That's right. Now, don't start baking the cake yet, because it's not till 2012. But
be here before you know it.
The planning is already underway, and we've got a little piece that we put up on the old website today at SeavilleTomorrow.org, where you can read about this. And Rick Barrick with the city staff put together a little report about this for city council on Monday night. They agreed to form a committee to start planning this event. And, I think this community is going to celebrate this really well.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't it seem like we've got a lot of people interested in our history?
Yeah.
And wanting to...
It has enormous potential to be something very, very special. It really does. And a year's worth of celebrations, celebrating, you know, events and people and neighborhoods. And It's just 250 years of history for this community. That's amazing.
Kristen Zekas said at the council meeting that the dialogue on race that's taking place could bring some ideas to the table about how to celebrate the community's history. She also encouraged the city to focus on marketing this event, I guess, to bring people to town and bring economic development here as well. Mayor Norris said, be careful. Don't step on the toes of groups out there like the Historical Society. Make sure to get them involved into the table early.
Yeah.
And I think that's all good advice. So that is underway. And if you're out there listening and want to get involved in that, go to our website and you can get the details.
Good stuff. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, having a great time this afternoon. 12 minutes until 5 o'clock. It's 64 degrees. A very quick break. And when we get back, let's talk about signs in Albemarle County's entrance corridors and the suit against the YMCA. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. So this entrance corridor debate. Last week we had Neil Williamson on.
Yep.
Discussing in detail his Eye of the Beholder report.
That's right.
And then we had, her name escapes me, but we had a former member of the Albemarle County Architectural Review Board.
Yeah, could have been a couple of people. Was
responded,
she for or against Neil's report?
She was for some of it, you know.
Marcia Joseph?
Candace Smith. Yes, okay. And yep. So she shed a little light on, you know, the actual work of the board and the, contextualized some of the criticisms and shared with us something I never knew. She said, you know, a Cracker Barrel never even came before the Architectural Review Board.
Yep.
That's an urban legend.
Yep. Well, I think some people had ideas about that kind of project. It's a complicated story, Coy. We've spent some time over the past week trying to put in one place, and we've got this story up on our site now. Bridget Lynn is a new intern we have working for us this summer.
Way to go, Bridget.
She is a journalism student at George Washington, and I gave her a very challenging first assignment. It was to go to that meeting, listen to everyone react to this Eye of the Beholder report, listen to the Board of Supervisors respond to it and see what they did with it. And it was quite interesting, but it was hard to tease out the different elements of this. And basically, the story is they wanted to streamline the entrance corridor review process, make it easier for people to get their projects through the system and approved, and have fewer things go to the ARB, Architectural Review Board. So more things
Who's
now.
Who's they? Who's they?
They being
that?
The government.
Yeah.
The Board of Supervisors endorsed this unanimously. So this was approved, and most of the observers think this is a step in the right direction. Even folks like the Southern Environmental Law Center said, you know, this review process has been more clearly mapped out for folks. So they were seeing it as a good thing. Now, Neil Williamson wants to take it to the next level. He wants to have more roundtable discussions about how to make it even more efficient, right, for business. So that there's fewer,
even less input from the Architectural Review Board.
Fewer opportunities for the ARB to step in
and
slow things down.
Yeah.
Now, why does the ARB do that? The ARB does that, as you probably heard, because they want, you know, architecture that reflects, you know, this community. They want developments that are orderly and attractive and
consistency. That's the big thing I heard from Candace Smith last week, and that podcast available is just to, you know, put some eyes on the different projects. So there's some type of consistency as you enter the urban area of Central Virginia.
And Marcia Joseph said at the meeting, she's a former Planning Commission member, but also ARB member. She said, you know, we don't want Charlottesville looking like any place USA. Now, I'll segue into the other part of this, which is the sign ordinance and the sign regulations. And that's, of course, been a hot topic here locally. They're going to move forward with a review of that. So that's where we're going next, Coy. They've done these initial changes to the entrance corridor, and now they're going to start looking at the sign regulations in Albemarle County, what can be done to improve them if changes need to be made. Dennis Rooker was the one who pointed out, you know what, maybe they don't need to be improved. Maybe it's just fine, but let's go in there and take a look at it, get some feedback and see what we need to do. Other people made the presumption, hey, we got to fix things for the business community. Some of the signs they're being asked to put up, it's ridiculous, spending too much money, et cetera. That's where the conversation's going next. It's going to go out throughout this fall. There'll be public workshops where people can come participate and eventually public hearings in front of the Planning Commission and the board this fall.
There you go. That's the continuing debate regarding the entrance corridor requirements in the Architectural Review Board in the county of Albemarle. Now, the latest on the YMCA lawsuit.
Speaking of continuing debates, this project is getting quite interesting. We had the fitness groups get together here in the community This is the Charlottesville Area Fitness Club Owners Association. It includes ACAC Fitness and Wellness Centers, Gold's Gym, Total Performance Sports and Fitness. They all came together and they basically sued the city and the county separately and said they didn't go through the procurement process to say, hey, we own property in the city of Charlottesville at McIntyre Park. We'd like to have fitness activities taking place there, put out for bid. Who's the lowest bidder on a project like that? So they're basically suing and saying they didn't follow their own rules about how to do this. Albemarle and Charlottesville, of course, feel like they're in a good position to defend themselves. And the YMCA is not a defendant. They're not named in the lawsuit. But they are the group that...
So they're suing the city and the county over the process of giving land and money to support a YMCA, which would directly compete with these other private businesses.
So did they get preferential treatment? And was that outside the rules of how things should be done?
And that is the question. Yes, there's preferential treatment, obviously, but is it outside the boundaries of what is their governments are allowed to do in terms of developing their communities?
Yeah.
So that would be the issue to explore there.
Those suits have been filed. We'll keep an eye on that and let you know what happens next when the judge will hear that and decide where it goes. But it's certainly another controversy in McIntyre Park, along with the Meadow Creek Parkway. Those two things are still getting a lot of attention. And of course, the people out there that are trying to protect McIntyre Park as it is today want to stop both the parkway. They're looking at filing a federal lawsuit to stop that, but they also want to encourage the city to find another place for the YMCA. They're not against the Y. They just don't think
they want to see a Y in, I'm one of them. I would love to see a Y in this community. I just believe we should protect a historic parkland. Brian Wheeler, he's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can read more about these stories online at seavilletomorrow.org. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.